You're very welcome back. You're listening to Global Village. Do text in on 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Millions of Muslims are currently observing Ramadan, a holy month of fasting and religious devotion. Under One Tent is an event that's taking place in St. Patrick's Park in Dublin City to celebrate Ramadan, and it aims to connect communities across all faiths. Well, joining me for more is Fatih Al Sayed, a recent graduate and project manager of Under One Tent, Hajar Akhil, journalism student and the head of the Under One Tent Communications, and James Carr, a researcher from Limerick University who spoke at last year's event. You're all very welcome to Global Village.
Thank you very much.
Now, first of all, Fatih, tell us a little bit about Ramadan, because there's millions of Muslims around the world who are observing Ramadan at the moment, and in Ireland we have thousands who are observing it, and I have lots of Muslim friends right now who are observing it, and you know, a lot of Irish people might not be familiar. What does Ramadan involve?
Ramadan, basically, we fast for the reason of self-discipline. That's the main purpose of Ramadan. And it has so many other aspects to it in terms of we're meant to increase in charity as well, helping the needy, increasing from our worship as well, praying more, reading the Quran, because that was the Quran, the first few verses of the Quran were revealed in the month of Ramadan. So it's more of self-discipline and trying to improve yourself as well. So it's not only fasting from food, it's also trying to improve yourself, not cursing, not using certain...
You're on your best behavior, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
But just practically speaking, because I think a lot of people will be quite impressed when they hear this, because you start fasting at what time?
We start fasting at 2:45.
2:45 in the morning, yeah. And then you fast all the way till
about 10 o'clock now, 10 to 10.
Because the sun doesn't go down in the summer, because you're like, get down, I can eat something. So if 10 to 10, you have your iftar, and then you have to do more prayers. And how many hours do you actually sleep?
Well, it depends on Ramadan. Probably our routine changes a little bit. Because some people sleep after they break their fast and then they pray the prayers and then they sleep for a bit and then they wake up to have something to eat before they start their fast. Others might stay up till that time, which is about 2:45.
And then sleep afterwards.
And then sleep afterwards.
But most people have, you know, jobs, so they can't maybe go to sleep.
So you your sleep is kind of broken. Yeah. So you sleep after prayer for a little bit and then get up, have something to eat.
So you're talking about maybe some, like a lot of my Muslim friends are having like 2 hours, 2.5, maybe 3 hours sleep by the time they actually do their prayers and all the rest. You know?
Should be able to sleep longer because, say, if you're starting work at 9 and you sleep, say, from 12 till 2 and then you sleep again from 3 till about, say, 7 or 7:30.
So. Now, see, I have a particular friend who's got kids, so she's always cooking. She wakes up early, so she cooks them breakfast and then lunch and dinner. And it's like, I'm like, what? How are you standing? It's amazing. So, and it is quite difficult, especially in somewhere like Ireland, because, you know, you're a smaller community who's observing Ramadan. Where, say, like I lived in the Middle East, I lived in Bahrain, and the whole country just shut down. You know, you couldn't get anything done during Ramadan. All the restaurants closed. You couldn't eat, drink or smoke in public during Ramadan. And in fairness, I think it's easy to fast in those kind of circumstances, because here people are eating a sandwich next to, even like when you came in today, you know, we apologize. We actually offered you, we take some tea or coffee, because this is what you do when you meet someone or we have a guest, you know. So it must be quite tempting, though.
I think there's always this like feeling that people feel a little bit like, oh, we can't eat or drink in front of Muslims but I think... I think on the contrary, like, I think it's fine, like, if people do that. Like, it's not... Especially in Ireland, like, the weather here, we're lucky that the weather isn't, like, hot or anything. So it's not as difficult to fast. And obviously you feel hungry and stuff, but you're hungry either way. So whether someone eats beside you or not, it doesn't really make a difference. So, like, the message is, like, eat and drink, it's fine. And it's really nice when people offer us stuff as well, even if we can't have it. It's nice to see kindness, like, from people.
So let's talk about the One Tent. Under One Tent, where did the idea come from?
Well, the idea came last year. we wanted to do something with the community because of Ramadan, because Ramadan, it gives kind of, there's that family and friend spirit. So we wanted to bring that out to the community. It started off by wanting to kind of do something for the homeless or the people who are in need, to provide them food for them and breaking our fast with them. And then for this year, we kind of expanded on that and we said, why not make it towards the wider community as well, to kind of as well build bridges between different groups and different faiths. And I think the best way to do that is over food, you know?
Absolutely. And can I just say, I like in Sri Lanka, where I'm from, Ramadan is huge. Like we have a large Muslim community. But everybody who is non-Muslim looks forward to Ramadan, because when Ramadan is over, everybody gets food, you know, like, and you get, people will come and deliver food to your house. Now, you're not Muslim, but it's like we must, you know, it's a huge celebration, and we'll cook for days and feed the entire neighborhood. So it's a really beautiful way to celebrate, because you're not just celebrating in your own community, but you're trying to bring everybody together to celebrate. And let's face it, it's free food. Yeah. So it's a great idea to do it in Ireland. And James, how did you get involved?
Well, Dylan, it's fascinating. I'm just listening to you there about the free food, because likewise, I always love Ramadan because I get so well fed by every iftar I go to during Ramadan with the Muslim communities that I've worked with. It's always fantastic, and the welcome is always really tremendous, you know. I suppose I started working with Muslim communities almost 8-9 years ago now, looking at anti-Muslim racism here. So looking at the negative experiences, if you will, of communities. But during the time, of course, you develop relationships and friendships with the communities right around the country. And occasions like this, the Under One Tent initiative, are fantastic, because they really go towards challenging the kind of the stereotype of, you know, communities not wanting to integrate or not wanting to have an open door and that kind of thing. So my experience with it has been absolutely fantastic, and that's how I got involved. So last year I was invited to speak as well, to speak a little bit about my research and what I'd done very briefly. And as with this year, I'm speaking again, but more to the, I suppose I want to speak more to the positive as well, because, you know, like I said, and some of the points you made there about the food, you know, the welcome, the kind of the feeling around Ramadan, the community spirit around Ramadan, which, if you're non-Muslim and you haven't been exposed to it, it's really something to behold. You know, it's really, I found it fascinating. I'm sure you found it fascinating as well in Sri Lanka, mm-hmm. Dale. You know, the sort of community spirit that happens around this particular time. And now, in a context, you know, when we hear, of course, after the various issues that have happened in the UK in terms of the attacks and whatnot, this is a really great kind of initiative to help challenge the negative stereotypes that will get out there again, and, you know, kind of that negative lid that's been lifted. So yeah, I absolutely love it, and I'm delighted, and thanks to Hajir and Fatih to inviting me to speak this time.
Because the timing is very interesting, James, because whenever something horrendous happens, it has huge ripple effects, not just to the wider community, but to the Muslim community. And I know, for one, and I know I'm speaking for a lot of people who have Muslim friends, I'm afraid for my Muslim friends. And how is this horrible thing that happened in Manchester or in London going to impact on their quality of life? Because surely they're going to be looking over their shoulders, right? And maybe they're going to experience some kind of prejudice. But then, so I was thinking, because it's supposed to be a holy month, and out of all months of the year, why did it happen now? But then on the other hand, maybe this is the best time that could have happened, because Ramadan is an opportunity now help build bridges, exactly as Fatih just said, and get people to see that there's so much more, to the Muslim community than the negative stories that
we hear. Can I just say as well, Dil? I mean, like, the likes of the Ramadan Tent, or the Under One Tent project last year, it was one such initiative. But this year, I know, for example, down in Kerry Islamic Outreach have various public iftars, you know, for communities to interact with. There's one coming up in Limerick in the next couple of weeks. There was one held by Muslim Sisters of Era last week. And this is in addition to, for example, the work that is done by Muslim communities every Friday night, and when it's not Ramadan, to feed homeless communities in Dublin city centre. You know, that there's a lot of outreach going on. And I suppose initiatives like this, they take us beyond that stereotype, you know. And you're right. I think the timing here is quite interesting this time. But it really, those doors are always open. I think Kasia and Fati would agree with me on that one.
And I suppose from a media perspective, and I might ask you, Hajar, the media have a responsibility to shine the spotlight on the positive stories like this, and not always on the sensationalist negative stories that we hear so often.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Under One Tent, like, especially from my experience with it last year and going there and like meeting different people and people that have just like heard about the event and just showed up, and just the amount, you really get to feel that community feeling that everyone longs to have, and everybody just wants to belong somewhere. And you get to see that when you go to Under One Tent. And it's great that, you know, we can carry on and do this every year, hopefully, and people can attend and people can see, you know, what it means like to celebrate our differences and come together over something that we all like, and to be brought together and rather than being separated. So it's really nice.
A final word to you, Fati. Anyone listening to this who is thinking of maybe coming down to Under One Tent, any final words to persuade people to come down?
I think it's a great opportunity for those that want to come down to network and to kind of learn more about the different groups in the community. Yeah, it's a great opportunity for them to come and just have a meal with the people in the community. And not only that, we have different speakers from different backgrounds.
We have Sister Stan coming.
We have Sister Stan and Archbishop Dermot Martin. And then we have people from the Muslim community. We have Ken McHugh, for the head of SARI. So there's a nice mix of speakers that will come and speak about how we could work together as a community, regardless of the background or the religion that you hold. So I think it's a great opportunity for those that would like to come to kind of learn more about each other.
Come with an open mind. So that's, of course, happening this weekend. And you have a chance to go down to St. Patrick's Park tomorrow, Sunday. So thank you so much for joining us here on Global Village. My thanks to Fati Al-Sayed, a recent graduate and a member of the Under One Tent, Hajar Akil, journalism student, communications of Under One Tent, and James Carr, a researcher from Limerick University, who, of course, spoke at last year's event. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very
and,
much.
Of course, Ramadan Mubarak to all of you.
Thank you very much.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Well, we reached the end of the show. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did putting it together for you. If you'd like to listen back, you can do so by going to the newstalk.com website and clicking on the listen back feature, or by podcasting the show. A big thank you to all our guests and, of course, our producer, Amy Ryan. I just have to say that there is a festival of meditation from the 16th and the 22nd of June at the Carmelite Community Centre in Angel Street, Dublin 2. And it's free. There's a concert, workshops and classes. Go to dublinmeditation.com for information. And of course, I have to say, next weekend, as part of the Dublin Pride Festival, Global Village will be broadcasting live from Oscar's Pub in Smithfield, because after 2 years of not being part of the Dublin Pride Festival, we are back, and it's going to be absolutely fabulous. So do join us at 7 o'clock on Saturday, the 17th of June. So once again, thanks to all my guests and my producer, Amy Ryan, and this is Dil Vikramasinghe reminding you that we're all part of a global village.